Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we're going to be facing some issues today that I believe should be of interest and challenge to each and every one of us. We'll be talking about today government sanction of sin, celebrating sodomy. Now, that should get our attention. I know many years ago, Jonathan Edwards, the British preacher, preached a message called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I'm looking at an article that says Sinners in the Hands of the Rainbow God. And that's exactly what we're finding today in relationship to the sodomite lifestyle and the sodomite agenda called the LGBTQ agenda. We'll talk about that more in a moment in the monologue. Lest I forget it, let me remind you to dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets your call directly through to the studios and right to our microphones that we can have dialogue and discussion together on the issues. As we face the issues, let me remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the Word of God. It's not a matter of what I think, say, or do. It's not a matter of what you think, say, or feel. It's a matter of what the Word of God says. God's Word is the first, foremost, and the final authority on every issue in life. In fact, it is the Word of God that Jesus says, Thy Word is truth. He had already said to His disciples, if you continue in My Word, keep in mind that's the Word of God, the truth, then ye are My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And so, ladies and gentlemen, there's no greater freedom than to know that we stand on solid ground of what the Word of God says from Genesis through Revelation. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that makes the difference. We ought not to be concerned about what a denominational preference may say. We've got denominations today that are every direction when it comes to doctrine and theology and what the Word of God say. Most have turned to the social justice issues and not to what God's Word says as the fundamental foundation for what they believe, teach, say, and preach. So let me remind you, the biblical worldview from Genesis through Revelation is the only view that we as Christians ought to have. And when you look at the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, you find that God created the home, He created government, and He created the church, and He did so in that order. So, ladies and gentlemen, anything that we discuss, anything that you discuss, anything that a pastor, preacher, teacher speaks on from the pulpit or the classroom that deals with any one of those three categories, covers everything from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, and it's a biblical issue. Therefore, it is appropriate. It is not out of scope, out of bounds, or out of the realm of what is biblically authoritative and approved by God to speak on. And yet we have a society today where the mindset is, we don't want to offend anybody. We're afraid we'll hurt somebody's feelings. We might run somebody off. We might lose the numbers, nickels, and noses. And so therefore, we're simply going to tiptoe around the edge of the issues and not speak directly to the issues. That's what we do on this broadcast. We speak directly to the issues and what the issues say and what we should do in response to them. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we think about facing the issues, we need to do so based on the authority of Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals that are looking to start your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, a full line of Honda generators and other hurricane preparedness material and equipment, and a full knowledgeable staff on instructing you on how to use them and how to be equipped in that time, and also carry a full line of hurricane cleanup equipment, chainsaws, and other items like that. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's the location where the 165-foot flagpole stands, where Old Glory is flowing each and every day, 24/7. I believe it's the largest flag in the state of Florida, maybe in the United States, but I know it's the largest flag in the state of Florida. I believe it's about a 40 by 80 flag that's flying there. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, may I open with a very, very serious quote from our city and national leaders? It is a statement, a question that is. It is a statement in relationship to what are we doing with the sodomite movement. What are we doing with the morals and ethics and values? So it's a very serious question that I want us to ask today. That is, should our city government, national government, our state government have anything to do with in sanctioning or approving that which is illegal or immoral? That's a pretty powerful question. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but if you're my age or older, and I'm still less than 100, I can recall back in the days when law enforcement and governmental officials were held accountable for morals and ethics and values. They were held accountable for what they did, and the pastors, preachers, teachers, and spiritual leaders of that era would make them accountable, hold them accountable, if they would do anything to be out of character of what God's Word says. Every conservative, every Christian today, ladies and gentlemen, should be alarmed when we watch the continual push from governmental agencies for adopting rules and regulations, even making laws that not only push acts that are unbiblical, unholy, immoral, but now participating in them and promoting them as well. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me talk a number of times, and I can't say too much about it. The House Bill 5 that's passed by 240 votes out of the Nancy Pelosi Socialist Democratic Marxist Party, and the Equality Act now is in the Senate. Senate Bill 788 with 46 senators already signed on. It modifies the 1964 Civil Rights Act to include gender identity and transgenderism. This act would destroy gender in America as we know it today. No male, no female, just gender identity is all you'd have. It opens the bathrooms in every facility that's public facilities, including, ladies and gentlemen, if the Equality Act passes, House Bill 5, if it ever becomes law, House Bill 5 will open every locker room, shower room, bathroom, dressing room, all buildings, if you invite the public, and a church and religious institutions would be included. Churches will be forbidden by law to print, to publish, or distribute any literature that's against homosexuality or the LGBTQ agenda. The Equality Act openly contradicts the Word of God. God's Word says that He created male and female, not shims, he and hims, but male and female, according to Genesis 1:27. It will make churches illegal if they require any employee to abide by the biblical beliefs about marriage and sexuality and the purity therein. It will force religious employees, employers to want to employ others. They would be forced to pay for gender transition and other medical procedures that violate biblical standards and biblical truth. It will prevent Christians from using religious freedom as a defense against the LGBTQ. The bill creates a universal right to abortion on demand, overruling any state regulation or law. This bill, the Equality Act, gives Christians an ultimatum. Change your faith-based life and practice or face persecution and prosecution. Ladies and gentlemen, under this act, the House Bill 5, called the Equality Act, it will be the most invasive, pervasive detriment to churches and Christians and religious liberties that America's ever seen. The bill would silence Christians and close churches across America. It will legalize the educational process that, with literature, textbooks, from kindergarten through college and the curriculum, advocating the LGBTQ gender neutrality and the gender identity goals for America. Now, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, that's the foundation for what I'm wanting to speak on today, government sanction of sin, celebrating sodomy. And that's exactly what we see taking place, ladies and gentlemen, on a national basis. I don't know anything in America today, ladies and gentlemen, that's more harmful and destructive for faith and for the family and for the future of our nation than the drug epidemic and the LGBTQ agenda. All of us know of the in-your-face, vile, wicked agenda and the activities of the LGBTQ agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, it is harmful and detrimental. In fact, Dr. Ben Carson, the head of HUD, the secretary of HUD, just had an opportunity to look at the deplorable condition in Los Angeles and the San Francisco area in the left coast called California, and trying to make a determination of what the federal government could do to intervene. You see, in San Francisco alone, I believe there's 66,000 homeless, so-called, that's occupying the streets, blocking the doors and the venues of merchandise there in the city. And Dr. Carson, as he was walking and looking at the situation, he has been attacked now by the liberals. Here's an article that says Carson is once again under attack by the liberals, who are distorting perfectly legitimate observations that Dr. Carson made regarding concerns of admittance of transgender women into federally funded women's homeless shelters. The press headline reads, "Carson made hateful remarks demeaning transgender individuals." Predictably, with no serious investigation into the what Carson actually said or meant, a host of Democrats are calling for his resignation now. Carson is in discussion with his staff, said he was conveying concerns he heard from women at the homeless shelters regarding a big hairy man, a big hairy men, who would come in and have to be accepted in the women's shelter, even though it made the women in the facility very uncomfortable. Carson said, "Our society is in danger when we pick one issue, such as gender identity, and say it does not matter how it impacts others because of one issue should override every other common sense consideration." Ben Carson is making this statement. He said, "I think we have to look out for everyone, and we need to use our intellectual capabilities to find common good rather than attempting to always stir up controversy through identity politics." Dr. Carson then says the administration is different from forcing women. In homeless shelters to share all facilities. He says, "It seems to me appropriate to the idea you have a brain, use it to purpose that HUD will propose that programs which permit single-sex or sex-segregated facilities, such as bathrooms, temporary emergency shelters that require shared sleeping quarters or bathing facilities, that they take into consideration the individual's sex for the purpose of admitting the individual in the facility." What Dr. Carson was saying, ladies and gentlemen, if I can boil it down, he says if you're going to have homeless shelters, have shelters for the women and shelters for the men, but not transgender shelters where, as he put it, big hairy men could be in the same bunking area, the bedroom area, the living area, the bathroom area, where women have to be kept. Ladies and gentlemen, that makes the statement very clear. There is a sense of rationality coming out of Dr. Ben Carson. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not rationality that we find on the national level, state level, even the local level of governance and the governmental agencies that's over us and around us in our cities and states. All of us know of the in-your-face, vile, wicked agenda of the LGBTQ. Let me just give you some of their agenda. The open, aggressive recruitment of our children. You hear me? The LGBTQ agenda is the open, in-your-face, aggressive recruitment of our children. You see, the sodomites call themselves gays or homosexuals, transsexuals, etc. They cannot reproduce. All they can do is recruit. And the recruitment efforts takes place, ladies and gentlemen, in our schools from kindergarten up through the college and university level. We have major, major, major textbooks today from every grade level, every academic venue, and every academic source where it is being pushed, that is the LGBTQ. The drag queen story time in our public schools and public libraries at taxpayers' expense is bad enough, ladies and gentlemen. But for any governmental agency to not only promote but to participate and to embrace the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, is another thing. Ladies and gentlemen, the LGBTQ agenda pushed in our schools via the garbage, vile, pornographic material called sex education. Most of that material, ladies and gentlemen, is published by the LGBTQ apparatus and the Planned Parenthood apparatus and their twin agenda, and that is to totally dominate society with the immoral, ungodly, unholy sexual identity, as it is called. I say it's sexual dysphoria, where they take these kids 3, 4, 5 years old and try to convince them they're another sex and not the sex that God gave them at birth. The whole religious denominations, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of a major denomination, religious denomination in America today. Listen, I don't know of any major religious denomination today, from the hierarchical standpoint, that's not in some fashion embraced the LGBTQ agenda. In fact, Dr. Greer, that is, now the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, said the LGBTQ sin is no different than the sin of gluttony. He says we need to reach out and embrace them and bring them into our churches. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we talk about protecting children from pedophilia and perverts in our churches and other places where we have the responsibility to watch over them and protect them. And yet that's the mindset today by entire denominations. Ladies and gentlemen, the fourth thing is the whole religious denominations are now embracing the ungodly, sinful, sodomite agenda with sodomite pastors, sodomite leaders, and even allowing sodomites to be members, active members in the church. Those like Mayor Pete, the sodomite presidential candidate from South Bend, Indiana, that's the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. Mayor Pete claims that he's closer to Jesus now after he's married his male man, husband, that he's now closer to Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believe that, I'll sell you the Buckman Bridge, dismantle it, and reassemble it in your backyard free of charge. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the stench in the nostrils of God that we see taking place with the push of this sexual agenda, the LGBTQ agenda. And ladies and gentlemen, it's across all denominational lines. It's in every political venue today. And the school curriculum is now being published and printed, authored by the LGBTQ people that's pushing their agenda, making it look normal. There's an attempt to normalize what otherwise for years had been called sin and viewed as wicked, evil, unholy, ungodly, and unbiblical. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking about today government sanction of sin, celebrating sodomy. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. To join the dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you have a question about what I've said. Perhaps you challenge what I've said. Perhaps you disagree with it. Perhaps you think that the sodomite lifestyle and the gender identity is all right. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says American students, our sons and our daughters, are not guinea pigs for the radical left in their social political agenda. The dangers, this article, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is one that I believe that everybody needs to be aware of. It's from Matt Staver and Liberty Council. He says here, the dangerous SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center curriculum, is being used by hundreds of educators nationwide, many of them unwittingly. And the aim of SPLC's partnership, the Hard Left Human Rights Campaign, dedicated to promoting special LGBTQ rights, is to provide products that indoctrinate school-age children on homosexuality, gender identity, nonconformity, and comprehensive sex education, end quote. Further, the article says, the teaching tolerance curriculum makes no attempt to hide the patent left-wing bias. It even includes publications for educators on creating an LGBTQ-inclusive school environment. It guides teachers to encourage gender neutrality, identities in students, and even provides tips on how to handle family pushbacks, labeling parents and conservatives and biblical beliefs as intolerant and hateful. Hear that? If you're a conservative, if you're a biblicist, if you're a Christian, you're viewed as being intolerant and hateful. And yet this group, ladies and gentlemen, the LGBTQ group, claims that they are peaceful and they're not intolerant. They are the ones that are intolerant, and yet because of the idea of wanting to be tolerant, multitudes of conservatives and some Christians have embraced and celebrated the sodomite lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, about 50 years ago, The first so-called gay parade took place in San Francisco. The parade was in defiance to morals and decency and ethics and the law. In that day, law enforcement agents, that is police officers, made arrests for nudity, indecency, and resistance of arrest. That was 50 years ago. Today, ladies and gentlemen, across America, tax-funded police departments are not only promoting the sodomite parades, but also participating in them. Here's an article that says, the question article, title of the article, question mark. Do police have a place at pride parades? Then the subtitle says, Stonewall's anniversary has cops and LGBTQ activists revisiting their fraught history. F-R-A-U-G-H-T, fraught. That means ill at ease with each other, and debating if police belong at celebrations of gay and trans rights. The article states this briefly. To honor Pride Month, the San Francisco Police Department redecorated one of its police patrol cars, affixing on the side Pride, Equality, and Peace stickers on one of its doors. The spokes of its wheels are ribboned with rainbow. Policing with pride, the car declares. The law enforcement there in San Francisco Police Department, SFPD, is also the first department in the country to encourage its officers to wear pride patches on the job this month and while marching in the San Francisco Pride Festival. Quote, we want to encourage positive conversations with the LGBTQ community, and the pride patch symbolizes our inclusiveness, said the San Francisco Police Department. Pride began as a protest, and now it's turned into a pride festival of celebration and embracing the sodomite lifestyle, ladies and gentlemen. Now, that's bad enough, but it's happening across the nation with the police departments. Here's an article that says, uniformed police officers not allowed to participate in this year's St. Louis Pride Parade, Dateline St. Louis. For the first time in 40 years, uniformed police officers are not being allowed to march in the St. Louis Pride Parade. The June 1969 uprising, which began after police officers violently raided the gay bar in upstate New York, is largely considered the birthplace of the modern gay rights movement. And he goes on to talk about the historical background, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and the 50th anniversary of the violent event, they call it, at Stonewall, New York, outside of a gay bar, where supposedly gay pride and the gay pride parades, et cetera, originated and started. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. We can call it the celebration of sin. Sin always has a progression. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Since the beginning of time, we've had sodomy. The Bible has the term sodomy and sodomites 38 times. The Bible does not use the word gay. The Bible does not use the word homosexual, but sodomy and sodomites 38 times. And since the world began, since God created human beings, we've had the sin of sodomy. Now, I am not one. I don't believe that it's my responsibility to control what you do in your private life. If you want to sin and go to hell, that's your prerogative. It is your prerogative to live your life the way you so choose. But I believe it is absolutely an invasion of the Christian and the conservative and the moral, ethical believers in America today. It is absolutely an invasion of what we believe and feel to have this forced upon us by celebrating sin. And it's bad enough for sin to be celebrated by an individual or sin to be celebrated by a group. But when sin is celebrated, promulgated, prompted, and then participated by law enforcement and by governmental agencies, I think that it's time taxpayers stand up in revolt and say enough is enough. But ladies and gentlemen, Genesis chapter 19, verse 4 and 5 is very, very clear. In Genesis 19, we find the progression of sin. We find that in Genesis 19, where every male, young and old, the Bible says, beat on the doors of Lot, beat on his door, and said, send them out, that we might know them. They wanted to have a sexual relationship with the men that came into Lot's home. That was the deplorable condition in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Ladies and gentlemen, they could have sex with them is what they wanted. And the progression of sin is this. First of all, it's the practice of sin. Then it's the participation in sin. And then it's the promotion of sin. And then society will openly, fully embrace and celebrate the sin. And that's the devolution in the progression, the progressive devolution of sin. It's where sin is practiced. Sin then is participated in by others. Sin then is promoted. And then you find society openly, fully embracing the sin. And ultimately, God has to deal with that just as he did in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, when you find in Genesis 19, verse 24 and 25, where the Bible says God sent rain down fire and brimstone on two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, and all the plains, that is, all of the geographical area round about them. And that destruction of two cities and all the plains around them was as a result of the sin of sodomy that was practiced, that was promoted, and that was participated in by all of the men in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not just a sin of men today. It is the gender identity group. And by the way, I've been told there's over 100 different gender identities. Depends on who is promoting the idea. Depends on what group, which perverted group. Some say it's 58, some say it's 100, one say it's 117. So I don't know the number, and I don't know how they count it and equate it and come up with the quantifications of what causes a different gender. But ladies and gentlemen, God created two genders, that is male and female. And anything outside of that is against the plan of God, against the creation of God, against the desires of God for man and woman to form a home and to procreate and bring up sons and daughters that will be subjected to, submitted to, surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, we find today the progression of sin. It comes to the point of celebrating, embracing, and celebrating sin. Today, if you do not embrace or celebrate sin, the sin of sodomy, you're considered to be intolerant. You're considered to be unloving, you're considered to be hateful, and a violent person. And that's being promulgated at the national level through the Nancy Pelosi Progressive Socialist Marxist Democratic Party and others, even in some of the RINOs, the Republican in name only, congressmen. They also believe that and teach that. But ladies and gentlemen, the question that begs to be asked and answered is, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? How can we respond? How should we respond? What are we to do? But yet, ladies and gentlemen, there's a silence in the pulpits today, a deafening silence, a frightening silence that I find unholy, ungodly, and unbiblical. God would have us to stand up, speak up, and be heard and be seen in relationship to what is taking place. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, there is a problem if we allow this to continue. And yet our own Jacksonville Sheriff's Department will for the first time promote and participate in the sin of sodomy in the Sodomite Parade, October the 5th at 4 o'clock of this year. You hear me? The JSO, the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, for the first time will participate in, will embrace, promote, and participate in the sin of sodomy in our city, in the city of Jacksonville, Florida, at taxpayers' expense. Notice, ladies and gentlemen, Jacksonville Sheriff's Office is scheduled to participate in the at 4 o'clock, October the 5th, 2019, called the River City Pride Parade, and it is, I believe, a horrific sin. I believe that it is absolutely antithetical to taking the oath of office. I believe it's antithetical to anything to be called looking out for the welfare, the well-being, and the security and the safety of the citizens in Jacksonville, Florida. And that's taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about this further. I want to give you the full information on this and invite you to do something about it. We'll have a break, news break at the top of the hour. Immediately after the news break, we'll come back. We'll be away for about 1 minute. Join us after the news break as we continue. Let's face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.